words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for the fifth Sunday after Trinity is a new one. It's one that the Archbishop sent us. So this sermon is by Archbishop Mark D. Haviland. St. Luke, chapter 5, verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Near the beginning of our Lord's ministry, in all the Gospels, the evangelists tell us about the calling of our Lord's first disciples. St. John gives us several stories not told by anyone else. In Matthew and Mark, we have a very brief story in which our Lord calls two pairs of fishermen brothers, Peter and Andrew, and James and John, to follow him and to become fishers of men. These brothers and partners obey the call and become our Lord's closest helpers and first apostles. The event is very important, yet the story as told by Matthew and Mark could hardly be shorter or more unadorned. In today's Gospel, we have St. Luke's version of the call that Mark and Matthew tell of so briefly. In St. Luke's version, Peter's brother Andrew is not mentioned, but Peter, James, and John are there. In Matthew and Mark, the story of the call is brief. The Lord calls the fishermen, and they obey his simple call. Today's version, from Luke, it is more complicated. In Luke, there is no direct and simple call, but rather a more extended encounter with several parts. The story begins with Jesus teaching the crowd from Peter's boat after the crush of people makes things uncomfortable for him on the shore. From this starting point, there follows a fishing expedition which veers from a seemingly dismal failure at the beginning to an almost overwhelming success. The haul of fish is so great that it nearly sinks the boat. There is something about Peter's experience of Christ in this series of events on the lake that somehow opens up his eyes. We don't know all that is going on in St. Peter's mind, but he obviously sees something during the fishing expedition that persuades him to follow Jesus, to become a disciple. The conclusion of the story in Luke is that the fishermen partners, after coming to shore, forsake all and follow Jesus. They abandoned their fishing boats and their livelihoods and followed him. We will come back to this conclusion in a moment. They forsook all and followed him. But before that, let me make a couple of points by this way. First, the story is sometimes called the miraculous draught of fish. It is, however, not necessarily a miracle story at all. The fishermen have had little success when they suddenly they have such a haul of fish that their boats are almost swamped and sunk. That is a wonderful and surprising turn of events, but it may also have been perfectly natural. Fishing can be that way. Now, usually we see God not through supernatural events or through miraculous suspension of everyday rules and natural laws, but rather in and through the everyday self. Insight is typically not a matter of signs and wonders, but rather is a matter of correctly understanding the everyday. As a rule, for those without eyes to see, no miracle would be believed. While for those with eyes to see, no miracle is necessary. Somehow, Peter comes to understand Christ through his occupation in a fishing boat. My other point, before coming to the conclusion, concerns Peter's language. Please note that at the beginning of the story, when Peter first addresses Jesus, he calls him Master. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. The word translated here as Master means teacher. This is the word usually used to translate rabbi. Peter begins by assuming that Jesus is a rabbi, a teacher of the Jewish law. This is a perfectly understandable assumption, since Peter has just heard Jesus teach a crowd on the lake shore, as any rabbi might. In this period in Galilee, the villages and roads and shores were filled with itinerant rabbis and teachers. But notice that after the great haul of fish, in obedience to Jesus' directions, after the boats are nearly sunk, but did not in fact sink, after this complex experience, Peter's address changes. When Peter addresses Jesus the second time, he calls him not Master, Rabbi, but rather Lord, Kyrie. In common Greek, Kyrie can just mean something like Sir in our language. It is respectful, but Kyrie also is a Greek term to address a deity, just as in English, Lord can refer either to a nobleman or to the Lord God, or bishops. When Jesus is addressed in the Gospels, Master is usually used by people who are not yet his followers, while Lord, Kyrie, is the language of a disciple. This is consistently the case in St. Matthew's Gospel, where the only people who call Jesus teacher are Judas and the scribes and Pharisees. So again, Peter's experience converts and changes him into a disciple, from someone who sees Christ as a rabbi to someone who calls him Lord. What then is a disciple? My text is the point. The brothers forsook all and followed him. There are two actions. First, they forsook all. Secondly, they followed him. Forsook all is a negation, a renunciation, a sacrifice, a walking away, a giving up. Followed him is an affirmation, an acceptance, an obedience, a taking up. Christian discipleship always has this twofold character. The idea runs as a thread through the whole of the Gospels. We cannot be his disciple unless we take up our cross daily and follow him. The cross is a giving up. The following him is a taking on. We must die to self, which is sacrifice, and we must live to him, which is obedience. We must give up so that we may live, may gain. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it cannot bring forth fruit for the harvest, which is obedience. Of course, we would rather it not be this way. How much more pleasant to keep our lives untroubled and our ways unreformed. Zebedee is never mentioned again after his son wanders off after this troublesome rabbi and Lord, though perhaps he too became a disciple. In truth, we balk at both sides of the equation. We would rather not die to self, give up our favorite sins, or offer up our wills. We also would rather not walk obediently, accept God's will, or try to follow his ways. But these two difficult things are required of us. The wonderful thing about the Gospels, and one of the great evidences of our Lord's truth, is the way in which people do drop everything to follow him. I suppose when people live close to the land and have little in the way of possessions, that might be easier for the poor than the rich who have more to shed. But for all of us, then and now, rich and poor, simple and complex, this story gives us a model. We must learn to forsake our own wills and ways and then work to follow Christ day by day. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.